Blog Talk Radio.
And greetings. Welcome to another segment of New Day, Resurrection and Liberation. My name is Empress Chi, and as usual, it's always wonderful to bring you a live broadcast. We have been so busy this week bringing you several live broadcasts from various locations. We're going to kind of go over some of what we've done this week. Again, we've been really, really busy and on point this week, starting, I think, maybe on the 9th, where we were actually on the 8th, where we were at the Great Debate. That's what we're calling it, the Great Debate. Of course, we're talking about the debate that took place here in Philadelphia between D.A. Seth Williams, our sister Johanna Fernandez, Michael Cord, and also Tigre Hill. We're going to give you a little overview about some of that and also open up the chat room if you care to also communicate about that or any topic that you may wish to go into for tonight. We're going to open the chat room up maybe in about 10 minutes. But before we do anything else, we always want to give thanks and praises to our Creator. And as usual, we are always very cognizant and appreciative of our freedom-fighting ancestors. You are in tune to New Day, Resurrection and Liberation. And again, my name is Empress Chi. This is, of course, one of the official Million Woman March and Now Movement radio broadcasts. And it just so happened that starting in January, you are going to get from the official Million Woman Movement several new broadcasts that will be coming your way. Again, starting in January, these broadcasts will focus on specific issues and specific topics, specific concerns. As you may know, the Million Woman March had in 1997 several platform issues, 10 to 12 to be exact. Well, now there is indeed a five-year action plan plus two to address not only those platform issues, but other issues that we might not have put on paper at that time but always had the intent of addressing. And now we have begun to put various components together to assure that we are able to move forward in the way that it was envisioned in the very beginning and to do so as qualitatively as possible. With that said, again, we will begin new broadcasts, new shows that will be coming in January. Now, for those who may be interested in being co-hosts or being partners for either special broadcasts or related events, or if you are interested in some other aspect of connecting with us for these new broadcasting shows, please feel free to contact us at nationalmwm@aol.com. Again, nationalmwm@aol.com. Or you can call area code 267-636-3802. Okay, again, that's if you're interested in being a co-host, a partner for a program, special program, or event, or if you wish to be interviewed, give us a call, let us know, and we'll certainly try to work that out with you. One of the, it's maybe three areas that we know we will be covering for new programming. One is African Women for Reparations. There will be a weekly program that will address the platform and the specific work that is now being implemented or being prepared by the cadre under the MWM umbrella that is known as the African Women for Reparations cadre. Now, it just so happened that we got some messages a little while ago about a very powerful program that took place on one of our sister brother stations, Harambe Radio. Apparently yesterday there was a full day of dialogue and so forth around the issue of reparation. So hopefully next week we can get Brother Delani and maybe some other folks on to talk about what occurred yesterday. Let's see, what else was it? It was, oh, okay. Not only are we going to talk about reparations for our next upcoming show, but I've also been informed that we are going to have Sister Johanna Fernandez on an upcoming show as well. We just got a communication from her actually a little while ago. Now, for those who are not familiar with Sister Johanna Fernandez, she is the sister who was involved in the Great Debate on Monday and is, of course, the filmmaker for the film that was recently shown, previewed here in Philly and now nationwide, called Justice on Trial. Now, of course, that film focused on the case of Mumia Abu-Jamal, and I'm telling you, when we talk about what happened on Monday, it was incredible, meaning the debate, the great debate with Sister Johanna Fernandez, Michael Kord, who is an attorney here in Philadelphia, and they, of course, were up against Seth Williams, who is the district attorney here in Philly, and also Tigre Hill, the filmmaker for The Barrel of the Gun. Now, we were able to view The Barrel of the Gun on Monday, which is afterwards is where the debate took place. And brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, it was absolutely incredible. We're going to try to play a little bit of the debate for you very shortly. But in the meantime, just want to tell you a little bit about it. Sister Johanna was, I'm telling you, she is a brilliant sister anyway, but she was so on point that night. It was just wonderful. It tore Tigre Hill's film up. I mean, sister was bringing out points from left and right that just had you had to listen, you had to pay attention, you had to really be able to connect the dots. I mean, once she was able to say certain things and to ask certain questions, you really, I wish you could have seen the expressions on the faces of Seth Williams and Tigre Hill, especially Seth Williams. I mean, it was just unbelievable to hear some of the responses that he and Tigre Hill gave when some of the questions were raised. Seth Williams was very, very unprepared for the debate. And, you know, we read some of the reviews in some of the local newspapers, and I mean, they were their typical biased selves, the Philadelphia Daily News, the Philadelphia Inquirer, and so forth. You would think that we were at some different locations or something, but, you know, we know how they roll, so, you know, it was not like it was unexpected. But this is, again, why it's so important that we take on the responsibility of telling our own story, because if we continue to allow others to do that, needless to say, that story will be so distorted and so misrepresented that you won't even know, you won't even have an idea as to what is really going on or what has gone on. So, you know, by now we should know that we cannot have other people telling, you know, or reporting, you know, the things that we need to have reported. We just have to make certain that we are able to do that ourselves and take on that responsibility very seriously. Which brings me to another point. Here in Philly, one of the upcoming media, independent media coalitions or consortiums, whichever you care to call it, is getting ready to manifest. We've been working on it for a couple of years. Something called New Black Philly, New Black Philly News. Again, debuting primarily in January. We're looking to do a hard copy edition in January and also an online version, both in talk radio as well as in newsletter form online. And the purpose for bringing about a news media, independent news media, is because, you know, for Philly, there really is not a voice in Philly that provides consistent, sharp, ongoing kinds of reporting, and is not compromised at all. I mean, you know, there's just nothing going on here. There are, of course, black newspapers, and there's a black radio station and so forth and so on, but what we're talking about is something that is just very hard-hitting and just, you know, very, very, just no nonsense, straight to the point, straight, no chase, and so forth. That's what we're looking at presenting. Now, even though we're going to be calling it New Black Philly, the objective is, of course, to create national networks whereby each city has a component that is kind of on the same page and connected. Philly, of course, is our primary target because that's where our national headquarters is, and we know this area, we know this venue very, very well. As a brother once said when we were on a radio program a few weeks ago, he said that we know where all the bodies are buried, and that is so, so true, meaning we know who the sellouts are. We know how they did it. We know when they did it. And we know who is projected to do it in the future. So with that said, we have the ability to expose them. We have the ability to neutralize them. And that's pretty much part of the objective. But most importantly, to provide ample insight, information, and quality reporting for our people, and to make certain that they're able to stay abreast of all of what is necessary for us to move forward. So that, again, is something you can look forward to, and you will be getting some e-blasts very soon to let you know when, in fact, that will be going into effect. And if you are a writer or you are someone who might be interested in being involved in some other capacity, you certainly will be welcome to do so. And, again, we will be giving you additional information. Okay, so if you want to stay in touch with us, we welcome you to do so. Again, you can keep in touch with us by emailing nationalmwm@aol.com. Again, nationalmwm@aol.com, and also officialmwm@yahoo.com. Okay, let's go over briefly what we're going to talk about tonight. I mentioned earlier about the African Women for Reparations Cadre. Well, again, that's one of the programs that we plan to bring to you in January. There will be a new block show featuring sisters in particular, our platform and agenda as it pertains to the issue of reparations and genocide. But it will also connect with folks all over the country who are also doing various types of work, and allow the dialogue and allow the updates and so forth to happen on a consistent basis, and to keep it free-flowing. The other thing that we believe you will be interested in knowing about is one of the other programs that will be presented, and that is the African Holistic Health and Healing program, whereby it will offer a lot of information about all types of healthy ways of doing things, of living, of being, as well as healing. Of course, that is referencing natural healing, natural health, alternative health, modalities and so forth, traditional as well. So you can also, look forward to, connecting with health practitioners and getting information, from all over the country, all over the world. So that is another one of the programs that will be coming in January. And last but not least, there is a program that is projected to kick off in January that will focus on the issue of Black women and the injustice system. Of course, one of the cases that we will begin premiering again is that of the Scott sisters, but also of cases that you have not heard about. We plan now to do some real digging, to really look into what's going on, in various states as it pertains to women who are incarcerated, women who are caught up into the system, and so forth and so on. We want to really begin to not only have that dialogue, but to also document various cases, and also be prepared to, you know, to really assist in some of these various cases. Now, what we've been working on over the past few months is obtaining a few lawyers on a national level who will be agreeing to provide us with pro bono services, be it in consultation, be it in actual litigation. But nevertheless, we have began putting together legal teams, both of those who are quote-unquote licensed as well as those who are self-taught, self-trained, and in many cases, you know, just as proficient. So nevertheless, that's one of the areas that you will hear us talk more about, again, coming in January. So we encourage sisters in particular who may have had some difficulties within the judiciary system or in any segment of, you know, the U.S. society that you feel has created some form of violation. We want to know what it is, and again, we want to begin providing greater assistance as it pertains to some of these areas. Okay, so that's one of the things, again, that's going on for tonight. And let's see, finally, I think what I need to let you know is that very shortly we're going to go to our live wire, our live line, and tonight we're going to talk with a brother who I haven't been able to connect with for a little while. You know, very good brother, and I'm very blessed to have been able to connect with him tonight. We're talking about Brother Eric Toure Muhammad, who, of course, is a writer for The Final Call and other independent papers, and also an activist, and in this instance, one of the coordinators for an upcoming event that's going to take place next weekend in Georgia. It's an annual event. I'm not sure if they've had it in the past couple of years, but certainly they've had it in previous years, and it's known as the African Holocaust Conference, the Black African Holocaust Conference. So we're going to talk about that, let you know what's going on with that. And let's see, I think what we want to do now is we're going to take a few minutes and we're going to hear a couple of Mumia Abu-Jamal commentaries. Again, we're going to go back to giving you an overview of some of what happened this week. Of course, there was the federal hearing that took place on November the 9th here at the 3rd District Court hearing courthouse. You know, from the reports that we got, it was not unexpected what went down, but nevertheless, you know, it kind of gets you to the point where you get a little fed up, kind of knowing what they're going to do. Well, it seemed that some things, though expected, was still kind of a bitter pill to swallow, meaning some of the judge in particular, from what we were told, you know, who seemed to be a bit more cordial the first time around, certainly was not this time. So it kind of seemed that the climate in the courtroom was one that was not as, you know, as conducive as it could have been, certainly, but also suggested that something's in the mist and that we really need to be as prepared as possible. I did speak to Sister Pam Africa earlier today. She was, I think, planning to go to D.C. for an event, but she's certainly going to be going to the Black African Holocaust Conference for next weekend. So there will be a lot of information available on Mumia for that conference next week. We also want to remind you that we will be having a paper presented as well, so that when you are there, and also you will be able to get it online, you will be able to get the African Women for Reparations Cadre, a paper that will be available, our position paper, actually. We plan to have that presented. And so you can look forward to that for the conference for next week as well. Okay, let's see now. The next thing we wanted to do was to bring you, I believe we're going to give you a couple of commentaries on Mumia Abu-Jamal. And, you know, we like to be able to present that to you. Let's see. The first one I think we have is going to be one titled, looks like Swing and Counter Swing is what it's titled. So what we're going to do is bring that up for you. We're going to do one now, and then after that we'll provide another one for you. Okay, so let's see if we can locate that one for you. Again, bear with us. Sometimes we have a few technical difficulties, so we are in the process of finding the commentary that we want to bring to you. For some reason, we're not seeing it. So we're going to go to another area and see if we can bring it through in another kind of way. As you know, we tend to get caught up with the technology, but we should have it for you in a few moments. Okay, here we are.
The midterm elections of 2010 taught many people many things. For example, that in politics, no victory is permanent, and that waves can be met by counterwaves. We should also learn that courts are intensely political institutions, for without the Supreme Court decision of Citizens United, the vast wave of money sloshing through elections that bought oceans of ads and won quite a few elections wouldn't have been possible. But there are other lessons. When the Obama administration came into power, it demobilized a virtual citizens' army of supporters. It passed the master list of email addresses over to the Democratic Party chiefs and went on with business as usual. It embraced an ethos of bipartisanship with the GOP and lashed out at its left wing. Meanwhile, while Obama's vast election supporters were demobilized, the right, energized by Citizens United, mobilized. Using the airwaves to stoke fear, they swelled and swarmed, and on election night, they burst the banks. Older and whiter than those who voted in the general election, these midterm voters essentially wanted to overturn the results of 2008. And while they may not have succeeded in that goal, they have thrown down the gauntlet at the Obama administration, and they've let them know that they're in a battle. The right, fueled by the so-called Tea Party, have retaken the House and cut the Democratic seats in the Senate by half a dozen. If Obama's 2008 election constituted a wave, then 2010 was an undertow designed to make his next 2 years into a legislative hell. In physics, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. In politics, for every move, there can be a counter move. The 2006 midterms, which gained the Democrat majorities in both houses, were made possible by two major factors. One, the deep opposition to President Bush. And two, former Vermont Governor Howard Dean's and former Congressman Rahm Emanuel's 50-state strategy, where Democrats vied for seats in largely conservative districts. Thus, while Democrats had majorities, they were fickle seats, where blue dogs tried to mimic Republicans in their conservatism. Almost half of those blue dogs lost their seats on Tuesday to Republicans, changing the face of the House. So Obama begins the second half of his first term on defense, because the electorate swung again, this time against him. From death row, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal. These commentaries are recorded by Noel Hanrahan of Prison Radio.
Yes. And that was Mumia Abu-Jamal. And let's see, we're going to go to one other commentary. But before we do that, we want to remind you again that you are attuned to New Day Resurrection and Liberation, and we will be opening up the chat room in about maybe just a few more minutes. We want to finish with our commentaries for now. We have one more that we want to bring to you, and that one is going to be, I guess, the more recent one. I want to remind you again that this week there was the court hearing in the Third Circuit Court. It was to hear the arguments as to whether or not Mumia would, of course, get the death penalty reissued, or if he would be given life in prison without parole. Neither one of them are acceptable, needless to say. And so, as we say, the struggle does indeed continue. And we do remind you that we are scheduling Sister Johanna Fernandez to be on our radio program for December 4th. Now, remember, December 9th is, in fact, the anniversary date of the initial situation that occurred here in Philadelphia, where a police officer Faulkner was shot and killed, and of course, Mumia, there was an attempted murder of Mumia. So for December, I believe, 4th, we are planning to have Sister Johanna Fernandez, who, of course, is the filmmaker for the documentary Justice on Trial, and we will probably have back Mr. William Singletary, who, of course, is the key eyewitness, who we have some groundbreaking news about some of the things that's getting ready to happen in terms of Mr. Singletary on that. And so we will, you know, be able to bring some updated information to you about some of the things that he's working on in the attempt to free Mumia Abu-Jamal. Okay, before we go to our live line, we are going to go to one more commentary. And this time we're going to hear When Murder Ain't Murder, okay? Again, Mumia Abu-Jamal. These commentaries, of course, are brought to you by Prison Radio, and we're very thankful to, you know, be able to share them with you. Whenever we can do that, we will. And this is, again, Mumia Abu-Jamal.
Murder. With the sentencing of former Bart cop Johannes Messerly for the killing of Oscar Grant, the system announces its evaluation of the worth of a black young man from Oakland, California. Messerly was sentenced to 2 years, and with time cuts and good behavior, he may do only 7 months for killing a man. 7 months, excuse me, for killing a black man. After all is said and done, Messerly may end up doing less time than rapper Lil Wayne did for only possessing a gun rather than actually using one. And therein lies the tale of the American prison industrial complex. Who does how much time for what? Can you imagine any set of facts, any convergence of chance, personalities, or fate that could have had Grant as the shooter and Messerly as the shot, and Grant sentenced to essentially 7 months in jail? Neither can I. And that, I think, says it all. From death row, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal. These commentaries are recorded by Noel Hanrahan of Prison Radio.
Okay, that again was Mumia Abu-Jamal. And this time, speaking on the obscene, I guess you can say, court proceedings that took place in the trial murder of Oscar Grant. All right, moving right along. Again, we want to remind you that the chat room will be open in a few moments. And we want to also let you know that very, very shortly, we will be hearing from Brother Eric Ture Muhammad, who, of course, is one of the coordinators for the upcoming African Black Holocaust Conference. Okay, so let's see now. With that said, before we go to our live line, we want to remind you that on December the 11th, if you're here in the Philadelphia area, please join us for a powerful, powerful day. There's going to be a political prisoners teach-in, as well as the film showing of Sister Johanna Fernandez's film, Justice on Trial. There's going to be a panel discussion. We're looking, hopefully, to have Brother Lynn Washington, who, of course, is one of the journalists who has been, you know, very key in providing ongoing reports, information, updates, but also analysis in the case of Mumia Abu-Jamal. And there's also an invitation being extended to Attorney Michael Cord, who, again, has been, you know, really very, very much involved in the case here in Philly, a spokesperson, you know, to make certain that the legal areas of this case, as well as the basic fundamental areas that are referencing black folks in general, is still out there in the forefront, and to do so from a perspective that allows us to really grasp the, you know, what's really going on without all of the legalities or in the legal kind of matters that tends to be brought forward. Michael tends to put it to you in such a way that you have no problem in comprehending what's going on. So, you know, we're looking to have him to join us for the panel discussion. Again, Lynn Washington, I believe Mr. Singletary will be calling in on that day as well, as he's done on other occasions. So that's going to be a pretty powerful day, Sister Pam Africa. So, again, it'll be a teach-in dealing with the issue of political prisoners in the prison industrialized complex, but also to focus specifically on the case of Mumia Abu-Jamal. It will follow, be a few days after the anniversary date, which is December the 9th. And, again, we are planning to have Sister Johanna Fernandez on the show live. She'll probably be doing the entire show on December 4th. Okay, so we are waiting for our guest to call in. And let's see, we're talking about Brother Eric Turay. That's who we're waiting for. So let's see. In the meantime, what I think we are going to try to do right about now is focus on trying to see if we have for you parts of the debate. We want to see if we can pull that up for you, so maybe you can kind of hear some of what the debate, what was going on with the debate. All right, I think we do have it, and so let's see if we can bring that forward for you. All right.
And that is what we hope to do here in this discussion that is following the movie. What I would hope that I can count on from you is that you will give our participants the opportunity to express their opinion, just like you. Everyone sitting up here on the stage has an opinion, and just like you, they are entitled to express it. So I hope that we'll be able to have a discussion, if not an actual debate, about the film and about the case itself, and we certainly appreciate your cooperation. If I may, I'd like to introduce the participants in our session. To my far left is Seth Williams, who, as you know, is the Philadelphia District Attorney. Ted Grayhill, who is the producer and director of the film which we just screened, The Barrel of a Gun. Michael Cord, who is an author and an activist and well-known in the Philadelphia area. And Johanna Fernandez, who is the writer and producer of another compelling film on this case called Justice on Trial. I'd like to begin by inviting Michael Cord to explain to us the importance of the court date tomorrow and what it means to this case.
Well, before I get into that, I'm sorry, but question directly. One of the things I always like to talk about when we deal with cases dealing with racism, because this case certainly deals with racism, and people say to me, well, why do you always play the race card when it comes to criminal cases? Why are you always talking about the issue of race? And the answer is pretty clear. I pose it in a question, and I'm going to get to tomorrow's decision in just a second. But I always ask people, if tomorrow you had to go to trial in a criminal case, robbery, rape, murder, anything, and you had the choice to go to trial as a black man or a white man, what would you choose? What would you choose? Nobody's blacker than me, but I certainly would prefer to go to trial as a white man in America for obvious reasons. And when people answer that question, and clearly you're lying if you say you'd prefer to go as a black man, why would you not want to go to court as a black man? Why would you prefer to go as a white man? Because of the inherent racism in the American legal system. Having said that, in regard to your question, tomorrow is going to deal with primarily the issue of whether or not Judge Albert Szabo's instructions to the jury in 1982 were valid. In other words, did the judge mislead the jury by thinking that they would have to be unanimous on mitigation as opposed to aggravation? Just quickly, in the last 10 seconds, I'll say this. There have been a number of cases where judges did mislead juries, and not only have the appellate courts determined that in this case that happened, but the interesting thing is this. After Mumia's case, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court changed the rules so that other defendants in future cases wouldn't have to go through what Mumia went through.
Michael, can you tell us?
Okay, that, of course, was just excerpts from the debate that took place here in Philadelphia on Monday, which was the day before the actual hearing in the Third Circuit Court in regard to the case of Mumia Abu-Jamal. Now, again, on December 4th, we will have for you Sister Johanna Fernandez, who was also a part of that debate. And we've also invited Brother Michael Cord, who will hopefully come on next Saturday. So stay tuned for that. We'll play a little more for you a little later on just to let you get a feel of how powerful that debate was when two of our brothers and sisters went up against D.A. Seth Williams here in Philadelphia and Tigre Hill, the FOP's filmmaker. Okay, moving right along, we are going to go to our next segment of our radio program. And, of course, as we indicated earlier, the issue of reparations, the issue of justice, the issue of genocide and so forth, that's just the beginning, meaning we not only charge this government with those types of atrocities, but it's far, far more than that. And when we hear the word Holocaust, oftentimes people just think of Holocaust as being referred to the Jewish Holocaust. Well, it's a new day, family. And for those who do not know or do not think or believe that there has, in fact, been a Holocaust imposed upon African people, well, it is time that you wake up. And more importantly, perhaps, time that you stand up. Now, next week, there is a conference coming up, and this conference has been taking place over at least the past 10 years or more. As we indicated earlier, I'm not sure if it happened last year or so, but certainly there have been several years that this has been going on. And I said 10 years, and I know it's longer than that, but I know for at least 10 years. And, you know, it has been something that has been so important in helping to establish further information, further documentation, and certainly the ability for our people who are involved in various aspects of reparations. And family, we've got to get to the point where we comprehend and understand the fact that we all have different roles in this. So what one group or one person may be doing or not doing, I mean, you know, that doesn't mean that someone else can't do something else or what have you. The bottom line is we must make certain that we are well-informed, that we are well-prepared, and that we know how we need to proceed in continuing the work of those such as Queen Mother Moore, Baba Kwame Ture, Brother Malcolm X, and so forth and so on. This struggle for reparations is not just about getting paid, okay? There are principles involved. For those of you who understand those concepts, then surely you will agree. But at any rate, we're going to go to our live line. And joining us now, again, is a brother who I indicated I had the opportunity to meet a few years ago. Haven't had a chance to talk with him recently, but I'm certainly honored and very, very happy to you know, connect with him now. And certainly, you know, I'm so pleased to hear about this conference that's coming up next week. We're going to talk about what's going to happen at this conference. What's the purpose? Who's going to be presenting? What are some of the goals and objectives? Because, again, this is an ongoing struggle. So a conference, of course, is helpful, and we need to do that. But, family, as you well know, it's about continuing the work, continuing the legacy. So without further ado, we're going to go to our live line, and joining us now is our brother, Eric Ture Muhammad, who, as I indicated before, is not only a prolific writer, researcher, but also a organizer, and certainly one who is committed to true African liberation by any and all means necessary. Brother Eric, are you there?
Yes, ready for revolution. As-salamu alaykum.
All right. Wa alaykum as-salam, my brother Hotep Ma'at Hotep. How are you tonight?
I'm blessed. I'm great. I'm excellent. Thank Allah. And I'm privileged to be reconnected with you and the family of Philly and our internet world audience. It's a great honor, Sister Empress, a great honor to be in your company again.
Brother, give thanks. I'm looking forward to seeing you soon also. So now tell me, I think we missed maybe last year, but tell us about this Holocaust conference. Tell us how it got started, when it got started, some of the things that have been accomplished.
Well, first of all, the Black African Holocaust Conference will be taking place November 19th through the 21st in Atlanta, Georgia. I just arrived back in Atlanta. That's where I'm calling you from now, and
mm-hmm.
on the road, but we just arrived back into Atlanta. So it's coming here to Atlanta, Georgia at the Western Atlanta Airport Hotel, just off the airport in Atlanta on November 19th through the 21st, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
This year's conference theme is working towards a meaningful future, and the root of meaningful is means. We have to find our way to obtain the means to achieve our goals.
Mm-hmm.
And in the means, the undercurrent deals with the healing process. You know, we've been at struggle and freedom fighting a long time, and naturally there's others that are listening over these waves who've been at it much longer than you and I, sis.
No doubt. In
all that they do, a lot of it has been fragmented and divided and never received its due credit, mainly because of the healing that needs to take place amongst us.
Mm-hmm.
There's a healing that allows us to see the universality of each other. There's a healing that will allow us to embrace each other's methodology without feeling compromised or upstaged in what is being done, because we all have a place and we all have a stake in this.
Mm-hmm.
And so recognizing the need for operational and functional unity, many of the minds that have worked with us in the past individually have come together as a collective. They sacrificed the finances they could have made on their own to go to any other venue and secure thousands of dollars in honorariums and things of that nature to make it nominal so that our people can receive, and at the same time we as organizers can absorb and develop new strategies and agendas and work on old ones and develop a set of marching orders that will guide us through this new century. So with that being said, this conference, it is true, we did not hold the conference last year,
mm-hmm.
but this is our 19th year at the Black African Holocaust Council.
Wow.
And the council is an action research group that's dedicated to the liberation of Africans worldwide mm-hmm. by the proper dissemination of information. And what that means is we learn how to take research and make it quantitative as opposed to just qualitative. A qualitative research is, qualitative research as opposed to a quantitative research means we don't just deal in numbers. We don't just deal in how many books we absorb, how many pieces we put out, periodicals we put out, how many reports we generate. You know, that could be a shot record for many others, but we're into that which is made palatable, that which is made user-friendly, so different organizations and infrastructures can utilize the information to achieve the common goal, which is liberation within their citadel, within their realm, within their politics. So we're not just rooted to the cause here in America. You know, we're rooted to different cause and revolutionary ventures outside of the United States, and we help to research the information that makes it easier and makes it accessible, number one, and easier for those organizers to achieve their goals, towards a total liberation.
Indeed.
So this is our 19th year operating in this vein, and we began out of the research department, the historical research department of the Nation of Islam, in the compiling of the Sikh relationship between blacks and Jews. In our first volume, you see the chapter related to the Black African Holocaust.
Mm-hmm.
And so when that term was coined, we, of course, worked with that as a model to develop another level of impact and access, if you will, because our power is within our access. And when we have the access to the information and we turn things around and allow people to no longer treat reading like bleeding, because if you, who wants to bleed?
Mm.
So if we learn how to redirect that aspect of study and being willing to do a study,
mm-hmm.
then we'll see the greatness in ourselves and each other, and we will eventually move on to do bigger and greater things on behalf of our people.
Wow, absolutely, absolutely. So now this is going to take place, it starts on Thursday or Friday?
It will start on Friday. There's a lot of cities that are already converging. They'll be on hand from Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll begin on Friday, and we'll go all the way through Sunday.
Okay, okay. So tell us a little bit about what's going to be happening.
Well, the Friday night begins with, well, there'll be a couple of workshops prior to the Legacy Dinner, but the Legacy Dinner will honor the pioneering efforts of both Dick Gregory, Paul Mooney, and Sister Elizabeth Omalami and her husband, Hosea Feed the Hungry. You know, this is the daughter of unbought and uncompromised Hosea Williams. And, you know, they've been active in feeding well over 300,000 or more people over the last couple of decades. And without much notoriety to what they do, not much appreciation outside of those who receive the food or receive haircuts or receive some kind of grooming or clothing. And they do this year in and year out. They do the so-called holiday season and they draw thousands of brothers and sisters from around the country to come and assist in this feeding of people. When we hear all the talk about there's no way we can do this and no way we can do that, here they found a way and found a successful formula in feeding people. And it all began in freedom fighting. You know, they're children of the civil rights movement. They're children of struggle. And they learned a particular discipline in how to go about starting a task, accomplishing a task, and finishing a task.
Mm-hmm.
So not only do we embrace what they've done, but we also embrace the study of what they do, which also lends to a research project that will come out later in 2011. So we're very honored. Some of the presenters will include the Mooney twins, Daryl and Dwayne Mooney, that evening.
Okay.
We also have the ambassador to the African Union from the UN. They'll be present along with some other representatives from WADU. And you also have the words from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, who is doing a presentation called The Black Holocaust, Why We Need to Tell Our Story, or The Need to Tell Our Story. And that will either be Ustreamed or displayed at the conference on Friday night on the 19th.
Wonderful.
The Saturday and Sunday produces a series of workshops. Saturday in particular, we have workshops dealing with everything from relationships, again, going back to the healing, how to create, make, and maintain successful marriages and families. Sister Nisa Islam Muhammad from Wedded Bliss Foundation will be with us, also a final call contributor. You also have your brother right there out of Philly, Dr. Umar Abdullah Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he'll be here doing a piece on conspiracy to destroy, I'm saying for lack of a better term, not to belittle Jawanza, but in this conspiracy to destroy black boys, he's dealing with the psychological impact, what is set up in the school systems, how we can combat this thing. And he has another piece dealing with the post-slavery trauma and disorder.
Mm-hmm.
So those couple of pieces are going here. You also have Sister Pam Africa, who's with traveling with Professor Griff on the weekend, and Sister Rosa Clemente, the former VP candidate of the Green Party, with Cynthia McKinney. And they'll be doing a piece on hip-hop and revolution, protecting hip-hop as a culture and defending it as a nation.
Wow.
And how to marry the knowledge base of struggle and freedom fighting to to the world's greatest communicators, which is the hip-hop generation.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of worrying about how many texts you have on and run around singing, that's her, that's her, that's her, it should be more, that's us, that's us, that's us, and trying to get our own foot out of our own way. And the, one of the ways of doing it is communicating the struggles that are out here.
Mm-hmm.
And Sister Sam Africa and yourself and all those that were in the great debate in Philadelphia, I take my hat off to you. That was a wonderful, wonderful victory, a jump start for our people. And that will also be shown here at the conference for those of us who weren't able to make it. And so we're very excited and happy over what was accomplished and what continues to be accomplished in the Freedom Fighter spirit of Philadelphia. Now, I just want to say this about Philly. I know we're worldwide, but I want to say this about Philadelphia. Philadelphia is a different kind of cat.
You know, you're telling me.
You know, I mean, you know, what you see is what you get. You can't just sell any kind of airs to Philadelphia. You got to come right. You know what I mean? You really have to come right, you know. And when we fight in Philly, we fight hard. And when we love in Philly, we love hard. And everything we do to the heart and to the heart.
That's
in
right.
Philly, you know, and there's no in-between. You know, we love or we hate. There's no in-between. You know, we hate oppression. We love revolution. And there's no in-between. And Philly has my heart like that. It's just really. And working with you over the years, sister, and with the development of the Million Women's March and now the movement and looking back at what we did and organizing for the Million Family March and how you affected our work and working with Baba Kwame and all that we did and you came to see us before we returned to Africa. All those things have great impact on how I personally see things in the world and how I personally see Philadelphia, the top of the clock. You know, so I'm very excited. There's a lot of presenters coming out of Philadelphia for the conference this year, a lot of presenters, and it's a tremendous thing. Brother Derek Rouse, you know, the Brother Diagnosis, you know, he'll be in it. And there's so many others, and Brother Abdul Jafar, Razak, he'll be here. Dealing with maritime and the slave trade and showing how these patterns have actually helped to develop the commerce and all the trade, slave trade mechanisms that the United States of America uses today. You know, and for those of us who think slavery is over, you know, think about this. You know, years ago I was with Daryl Strawberry, a former baseball player for the New York Mets and the Yankees and Los Angeles Dodgers. And I think he had a stint with the Marlins when they first began. I don't quite recall. But he got in trouble in New York City because he told a black Daily News sports writer that the New York Mets baseball team, of who he was playing for at the time, was a racist organization. So, of course, he was in his 20s, a young brother. He came out of high school, went into playing baseball. But he was raw out of Crenshaw, out of L.A., you know, so he spoke his mind. Well, they did all they could to demasculate this man to the world, you know. Got him hooked up on all kinds of depressive medicines and drugs and messed him all up, you know. But prior to that, he was talking about how he was a free man. He can go anywhere he wanted to do and go and do whatever he pleased. And I shared with him there's a science to that, you know, and that you have to align yourself with revolutionaries and comrades that will build that wall around you and give you the hedge of protection that you need in order for you to see your way through and be the example that you desire to be. He didn't quite necessarily agree with what I was saying, but the point was very clear, and this is the point that I want to share with your audience. You know, he went to sleep one night and woke up and belonged to another team, and he had no say-so in it. Because one slave master decided he should go to be a part of another slave camp, and he made this decision by organizing a financial bid that only benefited the slave master. It had nothing to do with the slave. So he woke up in a new uniform on a new plantation with more tools to do the same old job for the same old cracker.
That's right.
You know? And so all this took place. And when you look at the things that go on today, yeah, there are trades and whatnot going on all over the sports arena. I like sports, but I see the science inside the sports. You know, you want to play for a team, brother, you should think about owning an arena. You know, owning the arena that generates the funds that might finance your liberation or finance your freedom. What I mean by financing your freedom, I mean there's a school that needs to be built somewhere in Germantown tonight. There's a school or a community center or a Feed the Hungry center or a hospital that needs to be built right now, counseling for distress and slavery distress disorders. That needs to be built all over the country and all over the world right now. We need to organize collectively and scientifically to move this effort forward. So those kind of things that we understand as individuals, we're coming together as a collective around this conference to hopefully jumpstart some of us in a way that we've never thought about exploring this thing before. We have a film festival that's taking place that's shown, that has the ability, rather, to show over 500 documented films that speak to different dynamics of our greatness as well as to the revolutionary struggle. You know, we have a special presentation from Dr. Ashwa Amirakwesi on the Saturday, mm-hmm. along with Dr. Renoka Rashidi right behind them.
Wow.
And then on Sunday, Minister Abdul Akbar Muhammad opens up the Free the People Sunday, which is organized by the FTP movement. And they will open up that session, which is themed throughout that Sunday, on how to develop a people's army. And it follows a syllabus, and that syllabus will follow with martial artists and different talks and strategies on how to prepare your home, how to develop survival kits, how to do those things that move a community forward, everything from the education to how to cook for yourself, how to clothe yourself. So all these things are fun. And the thing about it, this is a young hip-hop movement that's making all this happen, you know. And a shout-out to Brother Kalonji Chanda of FTP, because his book on how to build a people's army, that's the first book I know of that got mic presence in the source. They got a 5-mic review for a book, you know, and that's pretty hot, you know, on revolutionary struggle, which will be out in a few days. So all this is taking place at the conference, but as a jumpstart, because, you know, we're coming from all points of the globe to be there, but the reality of the people in Atlanta, the reality of the people in Philadelphia when we hit the road again, the reality of the people in New York and other places that we'll be going, those are your realities, and we want to unite the reality. So this is a jumpstart, because when we leave from Atlanta, we're coming from the city to city over the course of 2011 to help reflect the agenda that we set, so then when we reconvene, we'll be ready to take charge of a greater chunk of our destiny.
I know, that's right. Well, Brother, it's so interesting that you mentioned several things that just hit so much, you know, to home with me. Just, I believe, Thursday, I was in D.C. I had a speaking engagement in D.C. with some sisters there who wanted to give recognition to this being the 13th year anniversary of the Million Woman March.
Yes.
And, you know, it was a wonderful thing to fellowship and be with some of the sisters. But what I also found was in our dialogue, there was reluctancy in moving forward in a self-determined kind of manner. And I found this to be a reality all over the country when I go and talk with sisters, that for some strange reason, there's just this, again, they don't want to let go and really do the kind of progressive things. One sister said to me that, you know, she applauds the work that we're doing now with the Million Woman Movement, but that she felt it was difficult for her to kind of get involved because it would put her at risk for her 501 standing. and so when you said about how we are in this modern day slavery thing, and I said to the sister, she said, well, you know, I want to still be able to service my constituents, the children and so forth that I'm working with. And I said, well, sister, have you ever considered you'd be able to even do more by uniting and connecting and building with other sisters who are serious and know what to do and how to do it and are prepared to do it? Do you think maybe you could do more? And she was like, I don't know. So you are so on point, my brother, in talking about how the slavery that we're dealing with today is not necessarily as obvious as it once was. You know, we're not, you don't see us hanging from a tree. But we're hanging.
Oh, yeah. No doubt about it. You know, and if the powers that be, which is the illusion in itself, because our ignorance gives them the power, the so-called powers that be, if they had their way, we'd be on those trees. We'd be that strange fruit all over again.
That's right.
You know? And, sister, I'm moving into another venue, to another meeting. I'm sorry to cut this short, but I can call back if you like. But, we're meeting with some of the organizing comrades that will be a part at the conference. I'm at the conference site now. And just for any of you that want to be a part of this great effort, you can visit our website at www.theblackafricanholocaustconference.info. That's www.theblackafricanholocaustconference.info. And if you want to give us a call, our hotlines are open. It's where area code 877-579-5225. That's 877-579-5225. And we look forward to all of you that are coming in from Philadelphia. I'm telling you, you have my heart in a way that it's unexplainable, you know. And, I mean, just really, really, it's the truth. It's the truth. You know, and all of you who are listening within the power of our voices, you know, we use the social network there, Facebook. You can go to Facebook and look up the Black African Holocaust Council. You can look up Brother Eric Tere Muhammad. You can look up those different avenues and see everything that's going. The commercials are playing on Blog Talk. The commercials are playing on Harambe Radio. The commercials are playing all through the internet and local cities, pushing this conference forward. All roads lead to Atlanta, Georgia, November 19th through the 21st, the Black African Holocaust Conference. It's our 19th year. We're looking to do incredible things. We're looking to advance our people. And I make this pledge to you as the law is my witness. I'll do all that I can to kill a brick, choke a stick, drown a glass of water, make blood bleed, all that I can for the liberation of our people. You have my heart,
right. And
you have, I'm just a sponge. I want to learn how to do better, but I want to be a greater servant. And I'm grateful to you, sister, and your audience. And may Allah continue to bless and keep us. And I'll be sure to follow up with you again for the results of our conference.
All right, my brother. Well, give thanks. And I will make sure I give this number out before we close out for tonight. And certainly I'm looking forward to having our paper presented. Even though we weren't able to make it there, we'll definitely have our position paper there.
Yes, ma'am. And it will be circulated by the thousands. Thank you so much.
All right, my brother. All right, family, we've just been talking with Brother Eric Tere Muhammad, and we've been talking about, of course, the Black African Holocaust Conference coming up next week, and we're going to give you more information about that before we close out for tonight. But we want to remind you again that December 4th, we should be having Sister Johanna Fernandez, and again, we've been talking very much about the incredible debate that took place here in Philadelphia on Monday, this past Monday, and of course, the proceedings that took place here in Philly for the Third Circuit Court hearings. We're going to give you more information about that as well. Well, on next week's program. Well, let's see. I think that's going to kind of do it for us tonight. We do have a few more minutes, but we're going to close out a little earlier tonight because we do have some things that we need to try to do before the evening is over. But we want to give you that telephone number again if you're interested in contacting with folks at the Black African Holocaust Conference. That number is area code 877-379-5225. Again, 877-379-5225. Okay, in case you didn't kind of hear what was going on, Brother Delani Aman is going to be one of the presenters at the conference next week. And so we are certain to get a very, very good report when folks come back from the conference. Of course, Sister Pam Africa will be attending, and there's a few other folks I think Brother Eric said would be attending from Philly. Hopefully the next time the conference comes, we will get an invitation to attend. We certainly would like that, but, you know, we've learned over the years that the Million Woman March, for some reason, has just been something that has just kind of been pushed to the side a little bit. We're going to change that, though, so you can look forward to hearing more from us this coming year of 2011. We have several projects on the table that, you know, will not allow people to just kind of kick us to the curb anymore. But at any rate, you know, we appreciate all of you tuning in, and we look forward to connecting with you again next week. Again, we remind you that if you want more information about the Million Woman Movement, certainly you can give us a call at area code 267-636-3802, or you can email us at nationalmwm@aol.com. Next week, we're going to bring you more information about some of the upcoming Million Woman Movement projects. We're going to make the announcement about the Kujichagulia Ujima Ujamaa sweepstakes. that is going to be ready for you starting in December. The first PR Blitz will be coming in December. You will begin to get some ideas to how the Me a Woman movement is moving forward. Brother Eric mentioned earlier about the building and development of certain types of institutions that we really need to be more serious about, and certainly the Me a Woman movement will kind of set some tones and examples about some of that. It is in our five-year action plan plus two to bring about the development of a school for girls, independent school for girls, not a charter school, not a certainly not a public school, but a independent school that we control completely. That is a projection within our five-year action plan, in addition to several holistic health and healing centers that would be available starting in Philadelphia and then hopefully moving throughout the country, where affordable care, information, training, and so forth would be made available to our people in the various areas of holistic health and healing. Those are just two of the projects that are on the table for the Me a Woman movement for 2011 through 2012. There are two summits that are also being planned, one for the U.S. and one for Canada. They are Africana Women Power Summit that will really allow us to not only reconnect and to bring forward work that has already been started and work that needs to begin, but also to prepare us for the projection that we have for 2012 and 2013, which, again, you'll be getting more information about very, very soon. These are some very powerful projects that are being put on the table. One of them will bring about a federation for African women, what we call Africana women, because if you understand how countries are formed, you have to realize that by putting it now in a more feminine context, it does represent more of what we say the mother of civilization, that being Africa, the cradle of civilization. So certainly that has to be more of a feminine nature, and so we say Africana. For those who do not like the word Africa, well, this is our way of also putting another twist on it, and we do implement self-determination and therefore we'll take the opportunity to do that, and in doing so, declare it as such. So you will be hearing more about our position in certain things now. As we indicated earlier, the African Women for Reparations cadre will have a paper available for next week's conference. It will declare our position and our declaration of genocide in terms of the United States government and various corporations and other entities that are connected to that. We will begin to take the proper measures in declaring or making our charges throughout international circles and in international courts. So you'll be hearing more about that next week and then in the following weeks as well. And for those who might be interested in getting involved, certainly we welcome you to do so. It will take a lot to bring about the results that we have projected within the next 5 years. And we had to look at it in that manner because the type of work that we are now engaging upon really, it will take time to do it well, to do it thoroughly, and so we are going to allow ourselves ample time to do that. We've also created the mechanisms to fund our projects. We are not seeking grants and certainly not seeking corporate sponsoring, and so we'll be able to give you more information about that as well. As Brother Eric mentioned earlier, the hip-hop generation, of course, has been very instrumental in making some very powerful moves. Well, we also say that the women's, our women, black women, African women, our movement will now also make some very powerful moves. It is now also our turn to take a key position in the liberation of our people and have it be made very clear that it is, in fact, our sisters, not in the background, not on the sideline, but right there on the front line, in the forefront, right in your face. So that's what's getting ready to go down. Because it must. All right. With that said, we're going to move right along, and we're going to close out this tonight's segment. I want to thank Brother Eric for coming in and sharing that information with us. And again, we remind you, we will give you an update on what happened at the conference next week. Well, actually, the following week, we'll be letting you know what happened. And we look forward to being able to dialogue with you again next week. Until then, we remind you that we strive forward in the spirit of our ancestors for true liberation, for the obtainment of power, prosperity, and peace. And we do so in, again, the idea of Ma'at, truth, justice, reciprocity, harmony, and balance. We also do that with honor and integrity. And remember, there can be no peace. There can be no Hotep without Ma'at. So we leave you with that thought and say, Ma'at Hotep.